In a world where we're constantly bombarded with notifications, deadlines, and digital distractions, Fully Present offers a refreshing counterpoint. This groundbreaking work by neuroscientist Susan Smalley and mindfulness expert Diana Winston has become something of a cultural phenomenon since its publication. Celebrities like Goldie Hawn and Richard Gere have publicly praised its accessible approach to mindfulness, while companies from Google to General Mills have implemented its practices in their corporate wellness programs. The book's unique blend of scientific research and practical guidance has made it a cornerstone text in the modern mindfulness movement, bridging the gap between ancient wisdom traditions and contemporary neuroscience. As mindfulness continues to gain mainstream acceptance, with over 14% of Americans now reporting regular meditation practice, this book stands as a testament to how ancient practices can address modern problems of anxiety, distraction, and disconnection. Mindfulness represents that fleeting instant of pure awareness before identification or thinking begins. It's fundamentally different from being lost in thoughts or operating on autopilot. While science can track shared elements of mindfulness and detect associated brain and body changes, it cannot fully capture the lived experience, much like describing an apple's chemistry differs from actually tasting one. Research shows mindfulness has qualities of both a trait, relatively stable individual differences influenced by genes and environment, and a state, temporary condition that can be induced. Studies demonstrate that differences in trait mindfulness correlate with variations in brain activity associated with emotion regulation and attention. As a state, mindfulness practice creates measurable changes, stronger immune systems, altered brain activity patterns, increased gray matter thickness in certain regions, and even modified gene expression. Mindfulness also illuminates our conceptual frameworks, the unique ways we perceive the world shaped by language, culture, individual experiences, and memory. These frameworks powerfully influence how we experience reality. Mindfulness directs attention to experience as it happens in the present moment, allowing us to observe these frameworks in action and potentially see things without preconceptions. Most of us have experienced moments of natural mindfulness, times when we were fully present, perhaps while walking in nature, during creative activities, or in meaningful relationships. These common experiences demonstrate our natural capacity to be mindful. In such moments, we might feel a sense of connection, well-being, ease, and peace. Our visual field comes alive, worries evaporate, and we feel truly present. Many of us miss parts of our lives by functioning on automatic pilot, accomplishing tasks without truly experiencing them. Mindfulness counters this disconnection by bringing present moment attention to ordinary experiences, making them extraordinary. When we apply mindfulness to routine activities, our senses come alive, we notice details previously overlooked, and we feel more connected to our bodies and surroundings. Most people spend considerable time lost in thoughts about the past or future, replaying regrets or worrying about what might happen. Mindfulness brings us back to what's actually happening right now. By learning to return our minds to the present moment, we gain a powerful technique for working with challenging thoughts and emotions. Changing behavior is inherently difficult. We are creatures of habit, as science confirms. Mindfulness meditation helps by making us aware of the unconscious obstacles that prevent change, our habitual patterns of thinking, feeling, and acting. This awareness allows us to select alternatives, but developing mindfulness itself requires attention and repetitive practice. Four key ingredients support behavioral change: simple steps, starting with 5 to 10 minutes daily, a supportive environment, understanding the ABCs, antecedents, behavior, consequences of your patterns, motivation, using self-talk to counter resistance, and repetition, creating new habits through consistent practice. Studies show attention changes can begin with just 20 minutes daily for 5 days, though benefits increase with more practice. Many beginners approach meditation with unrealistic expectations, like trying to meditate for an hour with a blank mind and quickly becoming frustrated. Meditation isn't this difficult when approached properly. Understanding basic techniques, attitudes, postures, locations, and timing prepares beginners for successful mindfulness practice. Despite stereotypical images of pretzel-like poses, you don't need complex positions to meditate effectively. Choose what feels comfortable: a chair for stability, a cushion for floor sitting, or even a modified lying position for those with injuries. The key is finding a posture that balances alertness with comfort. Designate a specific area in your home for meditation, preferably somewhere quiet where you won't be disturbed. Consistency in location helps condition your mind for practice. Choose a time when you'll be most alert and least distracted. Many people prefer mornings, while others meditate after work, before bed, or during work breaks. Start with just 5 minutes daily rather than setting unrealistic goals. This manageable commitment can gradually increase as your practice develops. Our breath connects our individual lives with others and the planet through the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide, yet we rarely notice this vital process. Breath reveals much about our emotional states. It can signal what we've eaten or how we're feeling, with research showing that breath patterns can predict emotions with surprising accuracy. Breathing is central to mindfulness and most mind-body practices. Even the word spiritual derives from the Latin word meaning of breathing. Across cultures, breath has been seen as an index of vitality and life force. Recent research shows that mindfulness practices can actually influence gene expression through changing our mental states, with studies revealing significant differences in gene activity between longtime meditators and non-meditators. Just as a ship's anchor prevents it from being tossed by waves, a meditation anchor keeps our mind steady amid thoughts, sensations, and emotions. Breath makes an ideal anchor because it's always present, easily accessible, and typically neutral in feeling tone. Unlike anchors that might evoke strong emotions, breath allows us to focus on presence rather than managing feelings. The key to mindfulness in breathing is feeling the breath rather than visualizing, imagining, or thinking about it. To benefit from the practice, focus on the felt sense, how you physically experience your breath in your body. You might notice your breath in your abdomen, chest, nostrils, or throughout your whole body as wave-like sensations or ripples of movement. When meditating, choose an anchor spot and try to keep your attention there, one breath at a time. Your mind will inevitably wander. This is completely normal. Contemporary culture has trained us for distraction, so when you invite your mind to focus, it often rebels. Think of this wandering as resistance training. Just as weights build physical muscles, the wandering mind builds your mindfulness muscle. The key is to gently return your attention to the breath without self-criticism. The body serves as the gateway to mindfulness precisely because it always exists in the present moment, unlike the mind, which constantly wanders to past or future. When we direct attention to our physical experience, we automatically enter the present. We can notice a wide spectrum of sensations, from weight and pressure to tingling and pulsing, that may be pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Being mindful of your body means experiencing physical sensations directly rather than conceptually. When you label a sensation as stomach ache and worry about what caused it, you're not being mindful. True mindfulness involves experiencing sensations without stories or labels. For example, instead of thinking about your hand conceptually, its appearance, function, or history, try feeling it from the inside, noticing weight, pressure, tingling, and movement sensations. Mindfulness helps transform our often critical relationship with our bodies into one of kindness. Many people direct self-hatred toward their physical appearance or performance. Through mindfulness, we learn to recognize self-critical thoughts as merely stories playing in our minds rather than truths. By returning attention to direct physical sensations instead of dwelling on judgments, we cultivate self-compassion. Conscious embodiment means living connected to your body, feeling comfortable in your skin rather than lost in thought. It involves listening to bodily information, symptoms, desires, aversions, and using it to act wisely. Through mindfulness training, you learn to check in with your body regularly, not just when it demands attention through pain or injury. Body awareness provides an anchor when we're distracted, anxious, or lost in thought. Even brief moments of mindfulness throughout the day can reduce stress and promote relaxation. The STOP practice, stop, take a breath, observe what's happening, proceed, offers a simple structure for remembering mindfulness. Some practitioners use bells or alarms as reminders to check in with their bodies. Beyond formal sitting practice, mindfulness can be integrated into daily life through informal practice. This happens in two ways: deliberately applying mindful attention to any activity, or designating specific activities as mindfulness touchstones. Walking mindfully, simply feeling your footsteps and bodily sensations while moving, offers an accessible way to practice anywhere, transforming rushed transitions into peaceful moments of presence. Pain is a universal human experience, with over half of American adults suffering from chronic or recurrent pain that interferes with work, mood, sleep, and quality of life. The pain management market exceeds $43 billion annually as we seek relief from back pain, joint pain, and headaches. Yet, pain serves an evolutionary purpose. It's our body's warning system to avoid harmful stimuli. Pain involves three systems: sensory discrimination, detecting painful stimuli, affective response, and cognitive evaluation. These systems send signals to the brain, while descending pathways from the brain can either enhance or inhibit pain signals, a mechanism likely influenced by mindfulness practice. The insula cortex, greatly enlarged in humans compared to other animals, holds an internal image of the body's physiological state and may be the seat of conscious pain experience. When applying mindfulness to pain, we observe what's actually happening in our body rather than getting lost in thoughts and concepts about pain. By bringing attention to the painful area, we discover pain's true nature. It comes and goes, shifts and changes, rather than remaining constant as we might believe. Even chronic pain waxes and wanes in intensity. This insight alone can be relieving, as the belief in pain's permanence often causes fear, depression, or anger. Approaching pain with curious interest, as if examining an object in a laboratory, reveals that pain isn't monolithic but quite fascinating. This key mindfulness principle, taking interest in an open, curious way, enhances our capacity to stay present with painful experiences. We can explore pain's qualities. Is it throbbing, burning, or stabbing? Does it have a shape or color? Does it move? Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. While we cannot avoid physical pain, our relationship with it determines whether we suffer. If we define pain as the pure physical sensation and suffering as our response to it, mindfulness helps us differentiate between them. The biggest challenge isn't pain itself, but our reactions, anger, fear, discouragement, or self-blame. These suffering-based reactions become an extra layer atop the physical sensation. Emotional pain, from minor irritations to major life challenges, brings negative emotions like anger, sadness, fear, and anxiety. While mindfulness invites us to be curiously present with all emotions, even uncomfortable ones, this practice helps make negative emotions more recognizable and manageable. By seeing emotions for what they are, we can better understand their sources and let go of wanting things to be different than they are. Emotions evolved as physiological responses to aid survival, while feelings are our conscious experience of these responses. Many emotional reactions occur unconsciously, with stronger neural connections flowing from emotional centers to thought centers than vice versa, explaining why logic often disappears during emotional arguments. Mindfulness helps us discern emotional states and their bodily manifestations with greater precision, allowing us to catch reactions early before they escalate. The mindful approach to emotions is neither purely expressive nor repressive. Instead, it involves recognizing emotions, feeling them fully, and then letting them go so they don't control you or lead to harmful actions. This perspective views emotions as energy in motion, temporary experiences passing through us like weather patterns, sometimes stormy, sometimes mild and cloudy, sometimes sunny. RAIN is a helpful acronym for working mindfully with emotions: recognition, acceptance, investigation, and non-identification. Recognition involves gently labeling your emotion, which helps regulate it through prefrontal cortical calming. Acceptance means acknowledging all emotions as natural parts of human experience without judgment. Investigation directs attention to how emotions manifest as physical sensations in your body rather than getting caught in the story behind them. Non-identification creates space around emotions, seeing them as passing experiences rather than defining who you are. They become the emotions rather than your emotions. Happiness can spread through social networks like a virus, as shown by research where happiness was caught at varying rates from friends, neighbors, and family members. While extreme happiness manifests as bliss, joy, and exuberance triggered by significant life events, scientists are now investigating what constitutes everyday happiness, why some people are happier than others, and whether mindfulness practices can increase happiness. Psychologists suggest happiness arises from living a meaningful life with four key components: purpose, connection to future events; values, ideas about right and wrong; efficacy, belief you can make a difference; and self-worth, belief you are good and worthy. Research shows happiness can be enhanced through exercises targeting these components. Character traits work together for authentic happiness. High self-transcendence without self-directedness may lead to psychiatric issues like mania or psychosis. True happiness requires the coherent development of self-directedness, how we see ourselves, cooperativeness, how we relate to others, and self-transcendence, our relationship with something larger than ourselves. The cultivation of positive emotions follows a simple principle confirmed by neuroplasticity: what you practice, you strengthen. As a Native American elder explained to his grandson about the battle between two wolves inside us, one representing negative qualities like anger and envy, the other positive qualities like joy and compassion, the one that wins is the one you feed. Though people often limit their beliefs and their capacity to change, assuming fixed personality traits, science confirms we can deliberately cultivate compassion and kindness through consistent practice. Equanimity, even-mindedness, or balance is the experiential feeling of well-being consistently associated with mindfulness practice. It's not dispassion or apathy, but rather a connected state where you remain engaged while maintaining inner balance. With equanimity, you care passionately about situations without tying your happiness to outcomes. Loving kindness represents the quality of tenderness and love and goodwill that naturally awakens in us in response to seeing goodness. Far from saccharine sentimentality or fake niceness, true loving kindness is an authentic wish for happiness directed toward ourselves or others. This quality connects deeply to happiness and can be deliberately cultivated through specific meditation practices. Attention is our most precious commodity. We make others feel important or unimportant through it, and it shapes our entire world. What we focus on expands in our awareness, whether it's a new car we've purchased or pregnancy when we're expecting. We can be blindsided by attention or its absence, as demonstrated in classic attention experiments where people fail to notice obvious events happening right before their eyes when focused elsewhere. Michael Posner identifies three distinct types of attention with different brain circuits: alerting, orienting, and conflict. Alerting is attentional readiness, how prepared we are to attend to stimuli, fluctuating throughout the day and influenced by substances like coffee or environmental contexts. This bottom-up attention requires no voluntary effort. In contrast, top-down attention includes orienting, directing attention to specific objects, sounds, or thoughts, and conflict attention, maintaining focus despite distractions. Research demonstrates that mindfulness practice enhances attention, and focused attention training increases mindfulness. Experienced meditators outperform non-meditators in conflict attention and attentional readiness. Even brief training shows benefits. College students practicing just 20 minutes daily for 5 days demonstrated significantly improved conflict attention. From childhood, we're constantly told to pay attention, yet rarely taught how to regulate our attention. Mindfulness offers a practical way to develop this skill, whether for those with attentional disorders or anyone seeking peace amid life's chaos. By understanding and practicing both concentration and mindfulness, we can better regulate our attention in daily life. Concentration meditation practices develop focused attention by training the mind to remain fixed on a single object, whether a candle, word, image, or breath. Like a magnifying glass focusing scattered sunlight into a powerful beam, concentration practice gathers scattered attention into a unified, potent force. With consistent practice, meditators develop more pliable, flexible minds that stay present with chosen objects rather than wandering aimlessly. Mindfulness exists on a spectrum. At one end, it resembles concentration practice with focused attention on a single object, like the breath. This foundational practice helps tame mental busyness. At the opposite end is open monitoring, a spacious awareness that encompasses multiple objects simultaneously, thoughts, emotions, sensations, and sounds. Our thoughts can be tangled and disorganized, and while thinking and reasoning may be humanity's evolutionary advantage, thoughts can also create confusion and distress. Mindfulness helps by creating space between ourselves and our thoughts, allowing us to examine them neutrally as they come and go. Brain imaging studies reveal that thinking about an object activates the same brain regions as actually experiencing it, just with less intensity. This explains why our thoughts feel so real. They trigger similar neural responses as actual experiences. This mechanism also explains why false thoughts can lead to incorrect perceptions of reality. Mindfulness serves as a method to clean our experiential lens, helping us move toward bare attention without filtering. We all have our top 10 problematic thoughts that recur frequently. These might be worried thoughts, grief-based thinking, angry reactions, or desires. Self-hating thoughts cause particular suffering, believing you're not good enough, not attractive enough, or not smart enough. Unlike cognitive therapy, which aims to change thought content, mindfulness changes your relationship to thoughts. Mindfulness offers a different approach to difficult thinking. Thoughts typically cascade. One leads to another, triggering emotions that spawn more thoughts. With mindfulness, you learn to see thoughts as merely thoughts without getting caught in them. Like standing on a train platform, watching the thought train leave without boarding it, you remain aware of thoughts without identifying with them. This creates space between you and your thinking, allowing you to observe thoughts with curiosity rather than being hooked by them. Obstacles in meditation aren't signs of failure. They're simply part of the practice. Just as a mountain climber faces both external challenges, weather, wrong turns, and internal ones, fear, exhaustion. While external obstacles require practical adjustments like schedule changes, internal obstacles need different strategies. The good news is that with awareness and proper tools, obstacles become less troublesome over time. Sleepiness is one of the most common obstacles in meditation practice. Many beginners report feeling drowsy, groggy, or even falling completely asleep. This happens partly because most people are chronically sleep-deprived, and when they close their eyes to meditate, their minds associate this with sleep. To counter sleepiness, choose your most alert time of day to practice, open your eyes, take deeper breaths, stand up, or try walking meditation. Mindfulness begins within an individual, but extends far beyond self-improvement. As we practice regulating attention, reducing reactivity, and cultivating positive emotions, we develop wisdom and compassion that ripple outward through our actions and interactions. Mindfulness helps us see beneath the surface of our individual actions to discover our interconnected nature with others and the world. The iceberg metaphor illustrates mindfulness's transformative potential. Initially, we live at the tip of the iceberg with limited self-awareness. Through mindfulness, we uncover what lies beneath our actions, gaining greater understanding and conscious choice. With continued practice, we discover our shared, interconnected nature with all beings and the planet, observable through DNA, ecosystems, interpersonal biology, and quantum physics. This experiential understanding naturally fosters wisdom and compassion as we recognize that harming others means harming ourselves. Harmonious relationships emerge from mindful speaking and listening. Mindful speech reflects our values and deeper connection to ourselves. It's truthful, thoughtful, and unifying. Mindful listeners make others feel heard and understood. Research shows mindful communication improves learning, decision-making, and interpersonal relationships. Studies demonstrate that mindful communication reduces conflict, stereotyping, and cross-cultural misunderstandings. In our reason-based culture, intuition is often undervalued, yet interest in non-rational ways of knowing is growing. Mindfulness practices that enhance intuition serve as crucial complements to critical thinking in our institutions. Evidence shows that integrating mindfulness into schools, hospitals, and businesses produces beneficial effects on health and well-being. The future could see intuition, kindness, and mindfulness more fully integrated into cultural, social, and political institutions. Every person possesses their own degree of awareness and ignorance. You cannot force awareness on anyone, not even yourself. Whatever method works best for you, whether the mindfulness practices in this book or other forms like walking in nature, running, yoga, or art, can help cultivate your awareness. Each increase in awareness requires letting go of past beliefs and habitual patterns. This process of awareness and letting go is never-ending. As you progress on your path of self-investigation, an intuitive understanding of the infinite nature of awareness and the interconnectedness of all beings may emerge, bringing wisdom and kindness. A more mindful society is ultimately a kinder one.